Well, here in Mark chapter 8, we have the second account of Jesus miraculously feeding a crowd of people. The first account, which was the feeding of the 5,000, is recorded for us in Mark chapter 6. Even though in this passage in Mark 8, Jesus is feeding fewer people, this miracle is no less amazing and wonderful and gracious than that first account of reading or of feeding the 5,000 in Mark 6. As Jesus looks upon the crowd that has been following him and listening to what he has to teach, he has compassion on them. He has compassion because they've been traveling with him for 3 days and many of them have nothing to eat. Even those that were the most prepared, that were set out and ready to go on a journey, by this point would have certainly been running out of food if it were not gone altogether. And many of the people, as Jesus sees, have hit the point where if they were sent away to find their own food or to go back home, they wouldn't have made it. They would have passed out from exhaustion along the way. And so Jesus is compassionate, and he desires to care for and help these people. Maybe the most surprising part of this passage, for me at least, is the reaction of Jesus' disciples. Remember, this is the second account of Jesus miraculously providing food in a desolate place. They've already seen Jesus take just a couple of loaves of bread and a couple of fish and feed 5,000 people, and now they're faced with a similar situation, and they all seem to doubt that Jesus can do it a second time. The last time Jesus had a crowd that was hungry in the middle of nowhere, he only had 5 loaves and 2 fish to start with. But here in Mark chapter 8, in comparison, there's an abundance of food. Jesus here has 7 loaves of bread and fish to start with. Not really an abundance of food. This was more like a snack for a family. Those loaves of bread, they're not like loaves of sandwich bread, like Wonder Bread, like we'd imagine. They're something much, much smaller. And the fish that we're talking about, it isn't as if they had just gone deep sea fishing either. These were very likely very small, preserved, salted fish. But just like in the feeding of the 5,000, this is not enough food to really do anything for the crowd. But just like the previous feeding, Jesus gives thanks to God for these gifts. He breaks them. He hands them out to the disciples to pass them out. And they multiply and they don't run out. Those 7 loaves and the few small fish, they just keep on giving until everyone is filled, until everyone is satisfied. And not only that, there are 7 full baskets left over once it's all said and done. God graciously provided once again for the needs of his people. After everyone had eaten, Mark records in his gospel that the people were then satisfied. And of course they were, right? They had been starving. That was their most important felt need in the moment, because they needed food. They hadn't eaten for days and they were famished. And then Jesus provided the exact thing that they needed. And not only that, they didn't just get a snack, they got as much as they wanted. They were filled, they were satisfied by the good gifts provided by Christ. Jesus provided for them their daily bread, and they were satisfied with it. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray and to ask God for our daily bread as well. But what do we mean when we ask for daily bread? Luther explains in his small catechism by teaching that daily bread is everything that belongs to the support and wants of the body, such as meat, drink, clothing, shoes, house, homestead, field, cattle, money, goods, a pious spouse, pious children, pious servants, pious and faithful magistrates, good government, good weather, peace, health, discipline, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. To sum it up, daily bread, what we're asking for is everything we need to support this body and life. Luther also notes in the small catechism that God gives us daily bread, even without our prayer, that he also gives it to wicked men. But in this petition, what we're praying for is that God would lead us to know that he provides. and that we would receive our daily bread with thanksgiving and with praise. So when we ask for daily bread, we're asking that God would sustain us for the day, that he would give us what we need for this day. Just like Solomon says in the Proverbs, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." You see, God tells us to ask for daily bread, but it's not our prayer, it's not our request to God that makes him provide our daily needs. That's something that God does for the entire world, the righteous and the wicked alike. Just like Jesus says in Matthew 5, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and good and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. And as Jesus' half-brother James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. You see, any good thing we have, any good thing is a gracious gift from the hand of God. And it's an undeserved bit of grace and mercy, whether or not we realize it. In fact, much of what we're praying when we ask God to give us our daily bread is that we would realize that everything we have is a good and gracious gift from his hand. That we would realize that anything we have is better than we deserve. We're also praying that we would be satisfied with whatever God chooses to give us, and we might give him thanks and praise for it. So this leads us to the real question. And that question is, how satisfied are we with what God has chosen to provide for us? Are we really a satisfied people? Are we satisfied when we look around and see people who are more prosperous than we are? Are we satisfied when we don't have all the toys and fun things that we would like to have in our lives? Are we satisfied when we take a look at this world and we see the pain and the suffering and the fear and the violence and the sickness? We should be satisfied. We should be satisfied with whatever God has chosen to bless us with. And no matter how crazy this world gets, we should be satisfied with what God gives. Whether it's great or whether it's little, it's far more than we deserve. And we should always keep that in mind. We're always receiving more than we deserve, no matter what it is that comes. Now, there are certainly times in our lives when it is hard to see the provision of God. Like those times when you don't know how the bills are going to get paid, or how you're going to put food on the table, or times when your vehicle breaks down, or one of the million other things that can go wrong in your life. But the truth of the matter is that God really and truly does care about your physical well-being and is indeed providing for you, even when it's hard to see. As Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Oftentimes, we get so caught up with trying to keep up with the Joneses. We spend so much time desiring the newest and the best of everything. And our old natures, they just take a hold of that and they find a way to complain about the good gifts of God. Our old nature ends up seeing the gifts that God has given not as the blessing that it is, but instead as a burden because it's not good enough. How many times have we gone to the grocery store to look for a specific item, let's say ice cream, and then they don't have the brand that we want? Sure, there are 35 other choices, and we have the money in our pockets to buy whichever one we want, and yet we find a way to complain. You see, I'm convinced that if we were to win the Powerball, our old nature could find a way to complain about having to pay the taxes. Or complain that it wasn't the biggest jackpot that had ever been given out. You see, not even that provision would be good enough for our old sinful nature to be fully satisfied. You see, the greatest act of God's provision is not a provision for our physical needs, but instead a provision for our spiritual ones. God's greatest provision, his greatest demonstration of love and compassion and care for his fallen creation is the sending of his Son. Sending Jesus to put on flesh, to live the perfect life that we could never live, to bear our sins and lay down that life for our sake, paying the price for it and appeasing the wrath of God. You see, by the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, we're taken from being God's enemies to being God's beloved children, from being condemned lost sinners to being God's holy saints, whose eternal home is in paradise with him. And that's what we always need to keep in mind, the cross of Christ, the finished work of Jesus, because without that, none of the other stuff matters. Apart from Christ, there is nothing that can or will satisfy us. There's no amount of money, there's no amount of stuff, there's no fancy food, there's no new car or new toy or bigger house. None of that's going to fulfill. No matter what we receive, our old nature is always going to want even more. In the immortal words of Pippin from Lord of the Rings, "What about breakfast? We've had one, yes, but what about second breakfast? What about elevensies, luncheon, afternoon tea, dinner, supper?" Our old nature's never satisfied. Never satisfied. But in the all-redeeming life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, all of your sinful debt has been fully and completely satisfied. You have been satisfied in Christ, and because of Christ, it is truly finished. That is your satisfaction. Look and listen to what goes on here in your midst, in your presence. The word of the Lord, the word of life comes to you. And in it, Christ comes to you. He comes not only in his fully satisfying word, but also in his fully satisfying body and blood that we'll be able to partake of next week. Yes, even this little foretaste of the feast to come is enough. It is fully satisfying for our lives. Jesus said, "Take and eat, this is my body. Take and eat, this is my blood, all given for the forgiveness of your sins." You see, when you leave here with the body and blood of Christ in your belly and on your breath and the word of life ringing in your ears, what do you have to worry about in life? Because you've been satisfied in Christ and because of Christ. And that puts everything else in perspective, doesn't it? My prayer for all of you is that God's provision in the finished work of Jesus Christ would fully and truly satisfy you. That you could stop trying to find fulfillment and stop trusting in the material things of this world and instead simply rest and trust that God will provide for you day in and day out. He hasn't promised to provide you all the things you want, but he provides for you the things you need and far beyond. It's my hope and prayer that you find satisfaction in the hearing of God's holy word, which delivers everything that Christ accomplished for you. That you find satisfaction at the Lord's table, where the body and blood of your crucified and risen Lord are given and shed for you in the forgiveness of your sins. Because when you find your satisfaction in Christ, it is the only true satisfaction. Everything else falls short. Everything else fails. Everything else leaves you empty and wanting more. But when you have Christ, or better, when Christ has you, you have everything you need both now and forevermore. So may this fully satisfying peace of Christ, which passes all human understanding and which belongs to you right now by the grace of God, may that peace guard and keep you and guide you onto life everlasting. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your daily provision. Help us to see it. Help us to see that every good thing is a gift from your hand. Every good thing is something more than we deserve. Help us to see those gifts and to give you the thanks and praise that you are due. Lord, thank you most of all for sending your Son to live a perfect life in our place and to die bearing our sins that we might have forgiveness and eternal life in you. Lord, strengthen our faith and use us as your servants, we pray. Amen.